fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And a couple of things. First of all, if you are interested in this, I just saw that Donald Trump is giving an exclusive interview this morning on CBS This Morning. So if you want to go watch that, I won't be offended. You can always catch the rest of my show on podcasts. But just wanted to make you aware in case that's something that you were interested in. And also it means all the Trump people will go watch that and I can say whatever I want. And nobody's going to call up and yell. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to let you know because it's an exclusive interview and it's probably going to be something interesting if that's what you're interested in. And also, reminder that tomorrow will be my last day with you for this week because then I'm heading to Michigan. Brian Thomas will be in on Thursday. Paul Santos will be in on Friday. And then I'll be back Monday. So I wanted to... Want to kind of leave maybe Thursday, like I have in the past when I've gone to Michigan, and then I would have been able to do the show Thursday morning and just missed Friday, but they smartly booked my travel early after what happened last year, where I was stuck in the airport due to a tornado. So better safe than sorry. Better to arrive a day early. Plus, I get to hang out at the pregame party with everybody, so that'll be nice. Today is, you know, I don't buy into these national days all that much, but I opened up Facebook a little while ago, and because I follow so many people in the radio business, everybody's posting about how it's National Radio Day. And so, yeah, it's National Radio Day. Do with that what you will. It's also National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day. And I'm probably not going to celebrate that. I do like pecan pie or pecan pie, however you want to say it, but I do like pecan pie. It's not one of my top favorites, but I'll have it every now and then. But I've never had chocolate pecan pie. When I was a kid, my parents had this friend. His name was Kyle, and he came from somewhere down south. Because he was like the first person I really knew that had a southern accent. And he used to bring up bags and bags and bags of pecans, pecans, whatever. I say pecan pie, but I say pecan. What's wrong with me? I don't know. My brain is short-circuited a long time ago. But he'd bring up bags and bags and bags of them. And so my dad would come out and they'd put them in the freezer and he'd come up with all kinds of things to make with them. And we had plenty of pies, but never a chocolate one. But anyway... It's National Pecan Pie Day, which, you know, I guess matters as much to most of you as it being National Radio Day. But I'm glad that radio exists and I'm glad that we can celebrate it. But again, I don't put much stock in these national days. If you want to, fine. Go celebrate with a big slice of chocolate pecan pie while listening to the radio. So there's a story I saw this morning. This comes out of Boston and it comes from WCVB. So a man and his baby, his child, his young son, who is under the age of two. They were down near the Charles River, near the Museum of Science. And they were walking over the bridge. And this kid squeezed between the railing of the bridge and fell into the water of the Charles River. And the dad jumped in immediately to save him, was able to save him, was able to get him, but then was kind of like struggling to get to the shore. And it just so happened at that time, a duck boat was coming by that was out on a training exercise. And the duck boat was able to rescue the dad and his young son. They threw out a life ring. And then they were able to get the boat close enough that he could get to the ladder on the back of it. And they were able to come aboard. They grabbed the Mylar blanket that they have for emergencies. And they wrapped the child in it to warm him up because the kid was, you know, pretty cold. They took the baby first, obviously. They took the little kid first. But very fortunate for him that duck boat was going by at that time. But also, why is the railing comprised in such a way that a two-year-old kid could squeeze through it and fall into the river? And I get it. You know, I'm assuming, I don't know exactly what that bridge looks like, but I'm assuming it's one of those stone ones where they have the, you know, the little areas between, I don't know what they would call it, but the little columns that are between it, you know, they have like a little space there. And I'm sure whoever created that was never thinking a two-year-old is going to squeeze through this someday. And I'm sure there'll be parents out there to say, why were you letting your two-year-old walk alone on the bridge? Why weren't you carrying them? But it's just one of those things that happens. Nobody planned for it to happen. It just happens. And I'm glad that it ended in a happy way. So good job to that duck boat. And maybe those duck boat captain and crew, maybe they deserve their own little rolling rally for that. 508-996-0500. There's also a story that I saw this morning. Did everybody go watch the Trump interview? Is it safe? So I don't know if this is something that that Donald Trump actually believed or if he's just trolling. I'm going to say it's more the latter. I'm going to say it's more that he's trolling. But if you missed it the other day, he put something out on Truth Social that showed a number of images of Taylor Swift or related to Taylor Swift that implied that she was for Donald Trump and that there is a group called Swifties for Trump. One of the photos shows Taylor Swift dressed as Uncle Sam with the text, "Taylor wants you to vote for Donald Trump." And the other photos depict fans of Taylor Swift wearing Swifties for Trump t-shirts. And so Donald Trump put this out on his Truth Social account with the caption, "I accept!" Exclamation point. And these are all fake images. These are all AI-generated images. It was somebody who said, you know, LOL at real Donald Trump shared my post. So I've got to think that he was doing it just to troll. He does that from time to time. He'll put stuff out that is just, you know, being funny. And when he does that kind of stuff, I do find it funny. Sometimes he is funny. So I got to think it's that. I don't think that he really believed that there's a movement amongst Taylor Swift fans to vote for him, especially considering, you know, the stuff that she said about him in her movie. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good. And you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. So, the great Phil Donahue.
Mm-hmm.
I watched so many of his shows, man. He was a great guy. And I was surprised when I first heard way back then that he married Marlo Thomas. I used to watch her sitcom show. And her father was great, too. He had a lot of shows that her father was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched so many talk shows, especially when the women started coming out. Sally Jesse, Ricky Lake, Montel Williams. Now, I watched a lot of Montel Williams, and then I heard he got MS. I don't know if he was born with it, but when I heard that, because my brother had MS, and when he said that, then after that, he disappeared. His talk show was gone. Do you know what happened?
I don't know if he had to retire from it due to his illness, or if it just got canceled because, you know, he was kind of in that Donahue vein, you know, the more moderate approach. It's not about yelling and it's not about fighting. It's about trying to get to an issue and learn. And I think that kind of fell by the wayside once the rise of the Jerry Springer type shows.
Oh, I know. And I have to confess, I did watch in the beginning, I did watch a lot of Jerry Springer, but then I started to get out of the talk shows a little bit, but then what's her name came to? I forgot her name. The younger one that they're talking about, she has an illness now or something. I don't recall her name, but she was on a lot. I mean, I don't know how to describe her. She's a black woman. I think she came down with some kind of an illness or something, and
oh,
she's gone
sure.
too.
Wendy Williams.
Oh yes, yeah. I'm not good with the names. So what happened? She's not, unless it's all syndicated now, all the old shows or something.
I don't know. I'm usually not near a TV when those shows are on, yeah. So I don't even know who has shows anymore.
Yeah. And then there's that cop that was a spinoff of Jerry Springer. I forgot his name, that cop.
Oh, the security guard, Steve Wilkos?
Yeah, him. He was out there, too, for a while. I don't have cable, so I don't watch all that anymore. I just watch whatever I want right on my laptop. There's YouTube and Tubi, and there's everything out there. Why would I have to pay for cable? I don't even have a TV in my house anymore. I don't need it. I mean, Xfinity, and they're pirates. I won't give them a dime. No. It's outrageous money. You know, when I was a kid and we had rabbit ears, antennas, and we saw everything. Mickey Mouse cartoons and Flintstones. And we had all that stuff. It was good back then.
Well,
everything is just so different, you know?
Do you still have a TV?
No, I gave it to a friend of mine so that her husband could play his video games while he was watching the regular TV. I mean, I could get a TV if I wanted one.
Well,
but
just,
why?
Just,
because I'm just not going to, you know.
Just because I was going to tell you, at Burlington in the Dartmouth Mall, they have, you know, when you're going to check out along the wall there, they have all that different stuff. And in there, there's a little, like, digital antenna you can buy for $10 for your TV that would bring in, you know, all the over-the-air channels. So you'd be able to get, you know, the regular network stuff if you wanted to watch TV for free.
Well, I tried a couple of those things. And I would get a few channels. I was actually, for a while, I was getting, what is the name of that now? MeTV that you mentioned the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting MeTV on there for a while. I mean, I'm big time with Bonanza and Maverick and the Big Valley. I mean, I don't believe there's a single episode that I missed. I've seen them all over.
Oh, those shows run for a long time, too. That's a lot of episodes.
Oh, I was big time into that stuff. My kids were, too, when they were small, and I was home a lot. We watched all the West Ends and stuff. We had such great shows. The Rifleman. I mean,
Chuck Connors, former Boston Celtic, Chuck Connors.
Imagine, yeah. What a great actor he was, too. But I really do. I was into the horrors. Like, Vincent Price was number one.
And if you still had MeTV, you could be watching Svengoolie on Saturday nights with all those old horror movies.
I watched the Svengoolie when he was there big time when he first came out. Yeah, we used to laugh at him. And my son used to say, oh, Whoopi, hurry up with all that talking to get to the show, you know? Yeah, because he used to come out and say all kind of stuff, and he had that doc makeup around his eyes. He's like, what was the reason for that?
Well, so he is the second Svengoolie. There was another Svengoolie before him, and so he's kind of, Rich Koss is his name, and he's kind of carrying on that legacy. So back in the day, and this is a whole, we can do a whole show on this, you know, when we get closer to Halloween, but back in the day when a lot of those horror movies, the old Universal movies became syndicated to TV networks, a lot of them came up with the idea of having these in-studio horror hosts to kind of host those movies. And so the original Svengoolie was one of those horror hosts, and Rich just kind of picked up the mantle. But there were some really, really famous ones around the world, including one of them was named Goulardi, who was kind of like a hippie beatnik character. And he was played by Ernie Anderson, who went on to be a major, major voiceover artist.
And what about Elvira, too? Cassandra, is that her name?
Yeah, Cassandra Peterson. So she's also a wonderful person, but she also was involved in... So basically, she stole that gimmick from Vampyra, although it wasn't her fault. She didn't steal it. It was a producer that stole it from Vampyra.
I believe that. She was great, too, and beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there was a lot of makeup and wigs and all that, but she would show her cleavage and everything, and I used to tell myself, gee, wow, why don't I look like that, you know?
But she would get your attention with the way that she looked, but then she was so funny that you just kept watching.
Yeah, no, she was great, yeah. Well, have fun time when you leave tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be calling tomorrow. There's something I got to do early.
Before I let you go, do you want to hear my one communist idea that I think you might agree with?
Oh, boy. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
So for a long time, I've always felt this way, that when, you know, the town signed the networks with the cable companies to have them come in and be able to offer cable services in the community, I've always thought that there should be people who choose not to get cable but just want to have the regular basic channels, that the cable company should have to provide that to them for free as part of the contract.
Yes, I used to tell them that they would give me, when we had it, when I had my kids. And matter of fact, I had cable when they first came out, where they would give you the remote would be on this big long wire, and we had it running all across the room. And the thing is, they would give us a package that we had no choice, and they would have channels that I would never watch, like guys that were out fishing on a boat. And I say, I'm paying for that. I don't watch it. And I used to tell them, can't you just let me order what I want? They said, we don't have that technology yet. Maybe they do now.
They don't. Senator Ed Markey has been was working for a number of years. I think he gave up the fight. But he was working for a number of years to get that broken up and make it so that you could order a la carte programming on cable. The problem is they have what are called carriages. So every carriage has a certain amount of channels, and they have to do that in order to negotiate with those network providers because, you know, Travel Channel knows people want to watch Travel Channel, but they don't want to watch Destination America, but they force the cable company to have Destination America if they want to carry Travel Channel, because then they have twice as many networks they can run the commercials on that they sell. So it's a way that the networks force the cable companies, and the cable companies force you to buy it.
I think it'll come, though. Sooner or later, we're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Although a lot of the channels they did give us, we did enjoy. Like my kids, like their Animal Planet. There was stuff that we did watch, but there were more that we did not watch that we were paying for. So I hope they. I'm pretty sure they will. Maybe I'll go back to TV. I don't know. It's just another bill to pay. Right now, I'm satisfied with everything I'm getting on my little laptop.
Yeah. Hey, if you're happy, there's no need to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for the time today. And if I don't talk to you tomorrow, have a good, fun time.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Right. You too.
And let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back. Well, let me use that mouse instead. There we go. And welcome back in. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. 508-996-0500. We'll also take app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Pretty much talking about anything that's on your mind today, but also looking for more fans of Manhattan clam chowder for sure. I'll tell a really stupid Manhattan clam chowder story coming up a little bit later on. But right now, it is time to get not stupid stories, but important news stories with Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Bob Biden passes the torch at the Democratic National Convention. Former Congressman George Santos faces prison time. And how to deal with that back-to-school anxiety.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden addressed the Democratic National Convention in Chicago Monday night, telling the crowd he believes in America.
But I ran with a deep conviction in America. I know and believe in an America where honesty, dignity, decency still matter.
He said we're in a battle for the soul of the nation, and Donald Trump is only stoking fears for votes. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also speaking last night.
Something is happening in America. You can feel it. Something we've worked for and dreamed of for a long time.
At least four protesters are under arrest following day one, reportedly having thrown bottles and signs at officers after breaking through a barricade. Police moved in with gas masks and riot gear when protesters tried to get through a second line of fencing that would have given them access to the United Center in Chicago. Day two of the DNC will feature Barack Obama along with wife Michelle, second gentleman Doug Emhoff, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. Today's theme, a bold vision for America's future. Former Republican Congressman George Santos is facing at least 2 to 7 years in prison. In a federal court on Monday, Santos pleaded guilty to multiple felony counts, including wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Santos is also being ordered to pay more than $200,000 in restitution. Disney is now waiving its right to arbitration in a wrongful death lawsuit. Karen Curtis reports.
Jeffrey Piccolo filed the lawsuit after his wife suffered an allergic reaction to a meal she ate at a Disney Springs restaurant and died. Disney originally claimed the lawsuit should be tossed because the plaintiff agreed to arbitration when he signed up for a Disney Plus subscription. By waiving its right to arbitration, the case can now proceed to court. Piccolo is asking for more than $50,000 in damages. Karen Curtis, Miami.
Legendary talk show host Phil Donahue has passed away at the age of 88. His family said he passed away Sunday night after a long illness. And if your child is anxious about going back to school, he or she is not alone, and there are ways to ease those jitters. Dr. Vanessa Jensen, a child psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic, says back-to-school anxiety is common among young kids, and the best way to help is to not feed into it.
You want to start with, like, you know, I'm so excited about your going into fourth grade this year. And see what they say. I find I statements work better than asking questions. When you say, are you worried about this year? You're kind of setting them up.
She says a parent should never downplay a child's worries, but instead say, we'll get through it together. However, if your child or grandchild regularly makes excuses for not going to school, Dr. Jensen says it's important to speak to a teacher, guidance counselor, or mental health professional.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Astros 5-4 last night. Their series continues tonight in Houston, and the Patriots gearing up for the final game of their preseason happening Sunday in Washington with the Commanders.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Feels more like autumn out there. You'll probably need a light sweater. Temperatures running in the mid to upper 60s under partly cloudy skies. Low 70s is the forecast high for this afternoon under partial sunshine. Decreasing clouds overnight tonight in the mid-50s. Sunny and around 70 for Wednesday and Thursday. And looking ahead, why not into the weekend? The sun will continue shining and temperatures around 80. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on the New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. That is Blues Traveler, and Blues Traveler is traveling to the House of Blues. They'll be playing in Boston on September 24th. We don't have tickets to that, but we do have tickets to give away this week to see Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper at Xfinity Center. You can go right now to WBSM.com and the WBSM app to enter. And it's going to be a great show. The Freaks on Parade Tour 2024. I'll be there. Of course, right? It's called Freaks on Parade. They should have just sent me an invite in the mail. But no, I got tickets with my brother. So maybe I'll see you there. But you can enter to win right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the proud sponsor of Tim's Tickets all summer and fall long. Also up on the website, you can enter to win a family four-pack of tickets to a day out with Thomas on September 1st at Edaville in Carver. Edaville Family Theme Park is welcoming back Thomas over two weekends, and these tickets that we're giving away are only for September 1st. But if you want to get tickets to the other dates, you can do that by going to Edaville.com and make sure you follow them on Facebook at Edaville Family Fun Park for all the information. So Ceci Del Carmen was very excited there about the warm weather and the nice weather, the low humidity. Usually you hear meteorologists get excited about, you know, the storms. Ah, there's a hurricane coming. Ah, there's a blizzard around the corner. That's when they get excited. She's very excited for the nice weather. So that makes me excited. 508-996-0500. So I'll tell you my awkward Manhattan clam chowder story. I think I might have told this before. The day was September 11th, 2001. I woke up, went to work. In those days, I opened the diner. I don't know if I opened that day, because I was working with Bernie, who's the guy that basically taught me how to cook. I probably opened, because Bernie did not like to go in early if he didn't have to. But Bernie was like the head chef. So he was the guy that did all the heavy cooking. I was more the grill guy. And so Bernie and I are working together, and we're prepping all the food for the day while I'm making everybody's breakfast orders, and he's working on the soup of the day when the waitress comes in from the front, comes back into the kitchen and says, "Did you hear what happened?" And we said, "No, what? What happened?" Because we were probably listening to a CD or something in the back. We didn't have the radio on. And she said, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And she ran home and got a TV. She lived very close to the diner. So she ran home, got a TV. Little black and white TV, plugged it in the kitchen. I remember putting a coat hanger on it to try to increase the reception a little bit. Coat hanger from all of the, you know, the cook's pants and shirts that we used to get delivered from the uniform company. Stuck that on the back. And we saw it just in time to see the second plane hit the tower. Maybe it was a replay, but I don't remember. But we saw the second plane hit. And Bernie went over to the pot of soup that he was making, walked over to the sink, and dumped it down the drain. And I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I can't serve this today." "Why?" "I made Manhattan clam chowder." "Oh, all right, yeah. I guess that's probably not a good idea." I'll never forget, too, the guy that came in. Customer came in. Now, this is, you know, what, like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning when we're usually slow on a Tuesday? When we're usually slow. Guy comes in, sits down at the counter. Nobody comes out to wait on him because we're all glued to the TV in the back. And he just walks into the back of the kitchen and yells, "Hey, can I get an Eggs Benedict?" And the waitress says to him, "Didn't you hear about what happened in New York?" And he looks at her and goes, "Well, I don't care about New York. I want an Eggs Benedict." I always wondered if he ever, you know, felt bad for it. I always wonder if he ever regretted saying that. My guess, knowing the people that would come into that place and act that way, no, he didn't care. He didn't have any regrets about it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I did get an app chat message that alerted me to the fact that the, and thanks to Gibo, I'm going to guess that's how you say it, the Sierra parking lot in the South End is shut down, and This person sent photos of a police cruiser there, so I have reached out to the police to see if it's, you know, something that they can tell us what's going on. But just to make you aware, and in case you see it, we are trying to find out more. We opened the show this morning talking about the passing of Phil Donahue. You heard Mary call at the beginning of this hour. And I was talking about, you know, the fairness that Phil Donahue brought to that talk show format. And I shouldn't say brought, because he really created that talk show format in the way that it's done now. Before that, you had panel shows with multiple guests on the dais, multiple guests on an issue. And Donahue did a lot of multiple guest issues, but he also did a lot of single guest shows. And he would walk around the audience and let the audience ask questions. And he would take phone calls and say, is the caller there? He would do all of that because he was basically doing a talk radio show on television. And that's how he started. He started in radio doing a talk show. And he was in Dayton, Ohio. And I was reading an article yesterday that I found very interesting where, you know, Donahue said, I created this radio show with the under the guise of we're going to just interview people who are passing through Dayton. Interesting people who are passing through Dayton. And that was the focus. It might be a faith leader. It might be a politician. It might be, you know, a business owner. But we're going to interview people passing through Dayton. And the reason for that was they didn't have, in his mind, enough interesting people in Dayton to put on the radio. So this is the way that he started it, as a way to, you know, have something different on the airwaves. And they basically just wanted to bring his radio show to television, and that's what he did. First locally, then syndicated nationally. And really defined what that genre would be. Now, other people took it in different directions. But when you see Oprah walking out into the audience, when you see Sally Jesse Raphael or Ricky Lake, or I don't know if any of the current hosts do it. I don't really watch current talk shows. I don't even know what's on. I know that Drew Barrymore has a talk show, because if I don't change the channel to CNN by the time Chris McCarthy goes on the air, the Drew Barrymore show starts. So I think a lot of the shows that I've seen out there, like I've seen probably a little bit of the Kelly Clarkson show and things like that, they're more in the vein of the Ellen show, which is more in the vein of Rosie O'Donnell, which was taking the late night talk show format and kind of adapting it for morning TV, which is actually what daytime talk shows were before Phil Donahue redefined the genre. And even during, it wasn't until, you know, the 80s when cable television came into being that you started to see these other shows pop up, because they could deliver them to more homes. It was worth it. Syndication was easier. And that's something that I love to read about. I love to learn about, is like the way that television worked in those days. And pre, was it 1987, 88, maybe, when Morton Downey Jr. came out? Maybe 86. I don't know. I was very little then. But when Morton Downey Jr. came out, that's what really started pushing some of this more loudmouth, more controversial approach. For a while, he was the only guy doing it. And people were like, well, people might turn off the TV if the host acts that way, but what if the guests act that way? And then I think the touchstone moment was Geraldo getting his nose broken when a fight broke out with neo-Nazis on the stage. And I think that was the kind of the no going back moment where they said, well, let's get a little more controversial. And then that peaked with Jerry Springer, and I don't think you could ever get back to that level anymore. Certainly on the internet you could, but I don't think television would have the stomach for that anymore. 508-996-0500. Take a break here and be right back. If you were expecting me to rap there, sorry to disappoint you. I don't do the Fredo verse. I do the Sticky Fingers verse, which is the third verse. I'm a B-boy standing in my B-boy stance. All right, I won't subject you to that. So, and Not Bad Note Bluff says, good morning, Tim. Did I just hear you say that you changed the studio TV to CNN before Chris starts his show? Now I understand his saltiness. I thought he would insist on Fox. No, Barry puts it on Fox when he comes in. Like, first thing he does when he comes in the studio is turn off the lights because he likes to work in the dark. And then he'll put on Fox News. But Chris likes it on CNN. I don't think I'm blowing up anybody's spot here by telling you that. I've heard him mention CNN on the air before. I've never really talked to him about why he prefers it. But I know I've talked to him before about how the production values of Fox kind of annoy me. And he agreed. So I don't know if that's why. Might just be the type of programming they have on at that time of day. I don't know. Like, one might give you more headlines. One might be more of a focus show. Dave in New Bedford says, yesterday you mentioned that a local restaurant will offer a food challenge. Have you ever seen any Molly Schuyler videos? She is right up there as far as competitive eaters go. I'm amazed at the amount and speed she can eat. Maybe she will try this local challenge. She would no doubt complete it while setting a record. I haven't seen any of her videos. I don't watch a lot of competitive eating videos. I did happen upon a guy named Good, who I guess is retired from food challenges, but he was a thin guy. And he would talk in the videos about how much the food weighed and how much his stomach could hold. Like, he had it all mathematically figured out. So he could tell, like, okay, if I ingest that much food, I don't have the space in my stomach to hold it, so I'm not going to do it. But he had built his stomach up to this, I guess, to the point where it could hold more stuff. And he actually went to Fall River and did the Awful Awful Challenge and completed it. I wrote about that a while back. But he has retired. This food challenge, I can't see any human being finishing it. And I'm going to write that up today. Still waiting for the restaurant to get back to me with a little bit of information. I'm just going to write it today with what I have because I want to talk about it tomorrow. I don't want to go away to Michigan and then come back and forget about it. So I'll try and get that done today and we can discuss it tomorrow. Because when I tell you what is in this, you are not going to believe it. I mean, you'll believe it, but you're not going to believe a human being can ingest all of that, especially in the amount of time that you have to do it to get it for free. And I'm waiting for the first person to do it. So we'll have more on that for sure. Got to take my final break of this hour. We'll be right back. A little something to break the monotony. You know, I can't believe that summer's almost over. And that's the first time I've heard that song this year. I mean, I used to have to play that right at the beginning of summer every year. You know how radio stations play Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving? I would play that song on the summer solstice. But I guess I was slacking this year. But that is the ultimate summer song. That, Mungo Jerry, always have to play that too. Anyway, we're going to take a break here for the news coming up. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.